You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information.
Hi, and welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
We're your hosts, Aaron and Jennifer Smith.
We have been married 15 years and have five sweet children who are growing up way too fast.
We love God and we love marriage.
And we love to be honest about it all.
Marriage is not always a walk in the park, but we do believe it has a powerful purpose.
So our goal here is to open up the conversation to talk about our faith and our marriage.
Especially in light of the gospel.
We certainly don't have all the answers, but if you stick around, we may just make you laugh.
But our hope is to encourage you to chase boldly after God's purpose for your life together.
This is Marriage After God.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. I'm Aaron Smith.
I like it when you go podcast.
Podcast.
Sorry. Keep going.
And you are?
I'm Jennifer.
Okay.
Some call me Jen.
Today we... Yes. I don't call you Jen, though.
No, I like that you call me Jennifer.
I call you Jennifer exclusively. Wait, does that mean I'm the only one that calls you Jennifer? What was that?
Just keep going.
Okay. Today, we are going to be having a light and fun, candid conversation with each other.
Because why not?
Because we can and we should.
And it's fun.
Yeah. And that's what we want to do. Okay. Before we jump into that conversation, I want to share with you this week's episode's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by our 31 Prayers for My Husband and Wife devotionals. These are some of our best-selling books, which is really amazing because that means there's thousands and thousands of marriages out there that desire to grow in their prayer life for their spouse and their marriage specifically, which is awesome. We designed these books to be a catalyst and an inspiration for your prayer life, not a replacement for it. So if you've been blessed by this show and you'd like, we'd be honored if you'd pick up a copy of our 31 Prayers for Marriage books. They can be found at shop.marriageaftergod.com or at amazon.com. With that being said, what is that?
What?
That. Okay. Okay. How long have you been holding that in your shirt?
Just a little while. So can people hear me over it? I don't know. It's really cute. We got this. It's a, do you want to explain what it is?
Jennifer's doing show and tell right now, but it's just tell.
It's one of those Christmas snow globes and it has a bear in it with Christmas trees. It's pretty.
It's not a Santa Claus bear either. It's just a regular old black bear, which is much more accurate.
Okay. So the reason that I snuck this into today's podcast and for you, Aaron, is because I wanted everyone to know that I really like the element of surprise. I like shocking people. I like saying, I like doing things that make you go, what are you doing?
What's the term you used to use for your mom?
What do you mean?
When she's being sneaky?
I don't know.
A ninja?
Oh,
You like being a ninja.
Yeah, I like putting smiles on people's faces. And I knew if I snuck this in my shirt and started playing it, you would smile.
I am smiling.
But what's really funny about this is, so we do CC class on Wednesdays. And my five-year-old Wyatt, the first day of class, we all show up and everyone's kind of feeling nervous. I don't actually know if all the kids were. But I look over and he pulls this from his backpack and he goes, Mom, is it okay that I brought this today?
So he did a sneaky move too.
He did a sneaky move. And just when we're thinking about life in general, like obviously we don't need to walk around with a snow globe in our pocket. But well,
that's what you do.
Well, I try and come up with ideas that make people go, what? What?
Why are we talking about snow globes?
I hope my friends, I hope you appreciate this about me.
I do.
Now we have to finish listening to this.
Well, you should go put it like in the far away so we don't keep hearing it in the background.
Okay.
So did you get all your snow globe out?
Yeah, it's out of my system.
It's out of your system. It's out of your shirt. It's put away. Yes. All right. So what is this topic?
Today?
Yeah.
So we just thought it would be really cool to do a candid and lighthearted conversation with each other. And one of the reasons is because, Aaron, you have something really exciting going on this week. So not that we had to rush through this podcast or, you know, be quick to record, which we kind of did. Do you want to share a little bit about what you're doing?
Yeah, our church, we try to every year, but it tends to be year and like a half, maybe-ish. Every,
yeah,
The women go on a women's retreat, and then the men will go on a men's retreat, not always next to each other. That's the coordination issue we have. We have lots of kids and just life.
I think it's good that they're spread out.
Yeah, and it's okay. But we finally got one coming, and we're really excited about it because all the men are looking forward to getting together. And
what are you guys going to do?
Enjoying each other's company. Well, mostly eat food.
Okay.
That's the majority of the planning we do is like, who's bringing what for food. Now, I think we're going to do some, I don't know. We tend to usually do some late nights where there's prayer and encouragement and that sort
campfire
of thing.
Campfire type
campfires.
Thing.
Yeah. Jordan plays country music. we love it. So yeah, we're going to, I don't know. We have a lot of fun things planned.
Cool.
I'm just excited for it. So.
I'm jealous.
That's coming.
I mean, I'm excited too.
Yeah.
I always get a little jealous that you're going to go have fun and I'll be wishing I was having that kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, mainly you'll be wishing I was just still in bed with you.
Yeah. At home. I am codependent in that way for sure.
But I love that about you. it's a light and fun conversation where we're going to go back and forth answering questions from each other. But really what we wanted to get out of this episode is to show there's a few reasons why these light and fun conversations, these candid conversations are so valuable. First, they can help you get to know your spouse, grow closer together more intimately.
So you're saying if they were to engage in candid conversations, not just listen to ours.
Maybe just listening to ours could do that. Okay. But yes, doing this for yourself has lots of benefits. Two, it really is quality time with each other. If you just think about spending that time asking these questions, getting to hear the unique answers, even how the response comes, that candid, like, oh, like if it is it quick? Mm-hmm. Like it's been on their mind for a while. You're mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, why are you even thinking about that so much? Mm-hmm. But it's truly quality time. Three,
to interrupt you. Yeah. Speaking of quality time, this even goes for couples who maybe the spouse travels for work or is gone for long periods of time. You can engage in this way via FaceTime or phone and still that quality time.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be in person.
Yeah.
With technology is amazing these days.
Yeah.
Another reason is it's just fun and lighthearted. How much do you just want more lightheartedness in our marriage? Sometimes we, in the day-to-day, in the grind, in all the kids, in the homeschool and all the things, like you can just kind of, there could just kind of be constant, maybe serious or just what's next on the agenda.
You need that pressure relief valve.
Yeah. Pressure relief valve. like the thing you're afraid of on the Instapot.
I'm terrified of it. I still don't know how to use it.
Yeah. Slow release always.
Slow release.
And also just who doesn't want more of that in their marriage? Just more lightheartedness.
Yeah.
More joy. And also it's just all around fun and creative, I think. So those, of course, there's probably a bunch of other valuable reasons. Yeah. So that's what we want to do today. And we hope that in the process of this, you enjoy getting to know us a little bit more.
And when you say candid, what you're saying is like, we didn't practice these. We don't know.
We actually didn't even write the answers down in the notes. Discuss the answers.
We kind of went back and forth on the questions and you were writing them down. So you kind of have a framework for like what the questions are, but
I added some in there that you don't know about.
Oh, great. See, now I feel like there's more pressure.
So,
cause we're recording this.
This is candid. It really is. So if you want to do this with your spouse, actually, we want to encourage you to do it, not as a challenge necessarily, but try and make some time to just sit down and be like, hey, let's have maybe on a date night, maybe when the kids go to bed, before bed. And you don't have to use our questions. You could if you want, but just come up with some questions yourself and spend some time just
getting to know each other.
Yeah. But
having fun.
Just having a light conversation with your spouse. And you never know what might come of it. really, I think. So we're going to just jump in. And since I've been doing all the talking so far, Jennifer can ask the first question.
Okay. Who is someone in your life right now that you look up to?
That's so because the first I asked, question.
You have to answer first.
I didn't remember putting that first. Man, this is a hard one.
Really?
No. You know what? I have a buddy. It came quickly. I'm going to say his name. His name is Stanislav.
Aww.
Yeah. We call him Stan. I look up to him in the way he loves his wife and his kids. Mm. I really do.
He's good.
I don't want to say envy because it's something I am actually striving for and desire to be like, but he's got such a quiet and gentle demeanor with he's got three girls and a boy, and he's just so gentle with them mm-hmm. and patient. And so I think I look up to him.
That's cool. Yeah. I see qualities in him, like being very loyal, being a romantic, like he takes his girls on dates, like his little girls on morning dates and bike rides. And
that's Stan.
Yeah.
And also he listens to this podcast. So hi, Stan.
Awesome. Well, somebody I look up to is my friend Nikki. And you mentioned Jordan, which they're married. Jordan mm-hmm. plays guitar. And Nikki is a close friend of mine who I was just thinking about when she goes through hard things, like her faithfulness is just highlighted even more, and her steadfastness in trusting God. And I'm not saying she doesn't have hard days or that she doesn't even, you know, cry about it or, you know, wrestle with hard thoughts, but the way that she presents herself, it's so strong.
Humility and a patience about her.
Yeah. And with her kids and the way that she parents. And so I just really value those qualities that I see in her. And it makes me want to be like her when I grow up.
When we grow up.
Thank you, Nikki.
Okay. I get next question because you did the first one, of course. What's one article of clothing you could never part with?
Mm.
Hopefully it's one that doesn't get dirty because that would be nasty.
Like just wear the dirty thing all the time. The first thing that came to my mind is like an oversized sweater. That's like my go-to when I just want to feel comfy during the day. But then I also would probably just want to keep like a piece of clothing from you because I get sentimental like that. Like I love to walk around in your flannel.
Can I say something?
What?
You also don't part with any of my shirts. You have a bucket, literally a bucket.
I forgot about
that. A tub full of my old shirts from like when I was
18.
Yeah, 18 years old.
But that's because, okay, Aaron used to shop at like thrift stores and his clothing was very unique. And so
I was emo.
Yeah. And so I saved them so that when our kids got to be in their teens, they would have fun kind of sifting through that stuff. And I think you'll have fun doing it.
You said you were keeping it because you're going to make a quilt.
Those are some other pieces of clothing that I get.
Oh,
I want to make this family quilt. This is actually a really cool idea. It's just one of those things that it's like when I get time to do it, but I saved.
When we retire, all of our kids are grown up and have their own families. And
over time, I've saved pieces of clothing from everyone, like all the kids and everything. And I do want to make a family style quilt where it's like patchwork, but I don't even know how to do that. Every time we move, Aaron's like, so can we toss this?
This is trash. No, that is valuable.
So, I had to relabel it just so
you doesn't truly find the it. Answer is all articles of clothing.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, you don't get rid of. I have a belt I really like.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for many years. Apparently has a 99 year warranty.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So I don't know why it's not 100
years. So you can't part with it.
I can't part with it. But I really like that leather belt. It's stylish.
And it holds things up.
It holds lots of things up. My pants, other things. Mine would be a belt.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We have 5 children currently, and I believe this is the longest time. Well, I am saying this, but you wrote it. Sounds funny. Of course, I know this. This has been the longest time we've gone without being pregnant again.
But do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So Edie's 2.5. And so if we even got pregnant right now, like the gap would be our largest gap.
Yep.
Age-wise. But people ask us randomly, well, are you going to have another? And so, Aaron, what are your thoughts on that?
They have been asking us that lately. when are you going to have another baby?
Not lately, just always. Always the question.
It's mostly like a surprise. Like, what, you're not pregnant yet?
Do you ever get bothered when people ask you?
No.
Me neither.
There's certain ways people ask that I might get bothered, but...
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. Like in a derogatory or negative sense, like, are you going to have another one? Like, that bothers me. Whether we have another one or not.
Who would ask you a question like that?
Not friends of ours, but other people that when they see we have five kids, they're like, are you going to have any more?
Anyone's ever asked me like that.
People have asked me that way.
That's sad.
So yes, I would be bothered in that sense. Okay. But I don't get bothered when our friends ask us if we're going to have another, because I think they genuinely want us to have another baby.
What happens if I ask you if you want another?
Have you asked me that?
Yes, actually I have.
Yeah, you have.
You said you're not ready.
I didn't say not ready. This is my answer I've been giving people. So if you want to ask my thoughts on this, my answer has been, I'm currently enjoying where we're at.
Same.
So
that's how I'd answer that. I'm content where we're at.
I tend to not be, I'm not able to think in terms of being done or not.
Yeah.
Because we could be done. I don't know. Like that's
I've been savoring
it's a biological thing in some sense.
I've been savoring my time with Edie as if she was my last, just in case. But I'm also, I feel open-handed and open-hearted too if we did have more.
So I don't have any negative thought of having any more children, but I am really enjoying that all of our kids are out of diapers. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's been cool.
So that's my I think that's my thoughts on that.
Okay. We can move on.
Yeah. Just a little add-on question. It's not even on this list. Candid.
Okay.
If we did get pregnant, would you be more excited for a girl or for a boy?
I think that either one would be great. Another girl would even out the three boys, three girls.
And we'd need a bigger bedroom already for them.
I think I would really enjoy having a boy. I have good pregnancies with boys.
That is
better
true.
Ones. So yeah. I don't know.
I think another girl would be awesome. It's that whole even out thing.
Yeah. We'll see.
Everyone like that's listening is like,
no, I'm praying. Not pregnant.
Everyone's they're waiting or they're praying. Like, wait a minute. Are they? Okay. Here's a question. What's your happiest memory from childhood?
Ooh, got to take me way back. If you have one on hand that you can share and I will think through that.
My happiest memory.
I mean, I feel like it probably has to do with an amusement park just because I lived like, in Southern California and my parents would take us to those. So I feel like that Knott's was like Berry a fun, Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland. Those were fun things. But if you mean like a sentimental, like I remember this one time I was with my mom, I was probably like 6, maybe 7. And she sat me down in the front yard and I remember it was sunny and warm and she had the Bible open and she was talking to me about praying or something like that. And it felt very like warm and cozy and it was a very vivid memory even still. And I really appreciated that.
That's cool.
Time's
that's the happiest memory. Right. The first one that came to my mind, I don't know if it's even like a memory, but I mean, I guess it is memory, but it was getting this toy Uzi. And I remember it was the most awesome toy gun I ever had. And I remember it so vividly because it disappeared one day and I was so sad about that.
Oh, sad.
So it's also a sad memory, but it was the happiest memory. But I tend to wonder if my mom just got rid of that thing or something, but it was awesome. And back then, I don't even think they did the orange tips on the guns. It was just, they were even more cool back then, but I get why they do that now. So that's my happiest memory. Probably have other ones that I can't think of currently, but okay. What is one dish, not satellite dish, food dish that reminds you of home?
I don't think anybody was thinking satellite dish.
I'm just making sure.
Okay. Like home, like childhood, I'm assuming. Like home.
You name it.
Home.
I don't know.
So,
like home, when you eat, you're either like, oh, this is home for me. This food.
I don't eat it anymore because I'm not the one that made it. My mom made it.
Wait, I know what it is.
What?
Can I just guess it?
Yeah.
Is it cream peas over toast?
So.
Or wait, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I didn't eat that because peas.
Oh, yeah.
So creamed eggs. My mom would make cream, creamed peas over toast, and it's literally like a cream gravy with peas in it over toast with butter.
Sounds
and everybody ate it, but I just couldn't do it. And so my mom would make me a separate pot of creamed eggs over toast, and it was so good. I think my brother knows how to make it, and he does a really great job, or maybe it's my sister-in-law. I have never attempted to make it, but when I think of that meal, like I think of home.
I couldn't get down with that, but
so creamed eggs is the hard boiled egg mixed with this gravy stuff. Yeah. And it's like peppery.
Okay. I think I've had it before. It's pretty good, but I can see why you would see that as a homey thing. Okay. I only have one thing. Do you know what it is?
Chicken nuggets.
No, chicken nuggets. I do love chicken nuggets.
I know you do.
Doesn't make me think of home. What's my favorite dish that my mom used to make?
Oh, sopa.
Well, what she called sopa. I don't think it was actually sopa.
It was like kind of.
It was like Mexican mac and cheese.
Yeah.
It was these little round noodles and cheese and like tomato sauce, onions, and cilantro, and yeah, with tons of cheese on it.
I've made that for you a couple of times,
and I love it. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I should have my mom make that.
Yeah,
because I actually want some right now. That is my home dish.
How would you describe me in 3 words? I think we did this on the podcast when we did that lightning round of questions.
Did we?
Or did we skip over it?
I don't know. Well, I'm going to try and pick really good ones.
I need
thoughtful. Time. Number one, you're very thoughtful, as in you think about everything.
Everything, always. I know this. I'm an overthinker.
But with good intentions.
Okay.
Yeah. You're thoughtful. You are passionate.
You think I'm passionate?
I do, because I think you, how do I say this? The things that you so desperately want to be good at, you you chase it and you work at it, and it's also the thing that like you cry about. Like they make you sad. You're like, I want to be better in this area. I want to be, you know, I want to homeschool my kids well. I want to learn guitar. I need to go guitar. You're passionate. And so that's only two. Oh, I need a third really good one. I think you're beautiful.
You're making me blush.
That's not one of the words. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Not blush. No, I do. I think you're beautiful inside and out. I think your heart for people, your heart for your family, your heart for me, and your heart for God is beautiful.
Thank you. My 3 words for you would be, well, also passionate, but why I was
you
thinking.
You can't stone.
I know. But I was thinking in different terms of like when you're in a conversation or when you're talking about something that you know well and have an opinion on, or, you know, just hobbies or things that you liked to do, you get so passionate and involved, and every ounce of your being
almost
is like
to where it
this
sounds
thing.
Like I'm arguing.
Yeah.
I promise I'm not arguing.
Another word is confident. I see you as confident in your ability, in your giftings, in your friendships, in our marriage, in finances, in a lot of things.
It's because I live by a motto, fake it till you make it.
Okay.
So no one actually knows.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know then. Okay. And then the last one would be.
You can't say beautiful.
I was going to say interesting. You're very interesting. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a third.
Unique's better than interesting.
Sorry.
You're very unique.
You're unique and interesting.
Or invaluable or priceless.
I'll say this. You're loyal to me. And what I mean by that is like you are faithful to me, but then beyond that, it's like you want to please me. You want to help me do things like around our house or write a book or just anything in life that we team up together on. I feel like a lot of it's just supporting me.
Like what's one of the things I'm doing around the house right now?
Well, you're building a chicken coop for the chickens that you didn't want. I know. Which I appreciate having, and we started
when most people
eggs.
Hear chicken coop, do you think like a 4-foot by 2-foot box with like a cage, or do you think 40-foot by 10-foot
well, massive? You're kind of telling on yourself, because you wanted I didn't give you dimensions. You built that thing as big as it is, but it's going to make the backyard look really nice.
It is going to look awesome.
The chickens are going to be happy.
When I finish it one day.
One day.
And it will, was that, I will finish it someday.
It's got to happen before snow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. You Why'd can you ask the next me? One.
Okay. Is there anything about our relationship, getting deeper here, that feels totally unique to us? This is actually kind of difficult because I can say there's certain things I can say, and be like, but I know this couple that does that, and I know this couple that does that.
Oh, I see what you're
like,
saying.
Like totally unique to us.
I think
like that... you could say author. We know a lot of authors. It's not unique to us.
Yeah. But we're unique. I think what makes us unique is that we've dipped into like traditional publishing, self-publishing, podcasting. We did videos for a while, blogging. Like we've touched all.
Tried a self-publishing e-course, tried other things, building vans.
Well, I think we're really good at taking a dream and putting it into action.
And seeing if it sticks to the wall.
Yeah. And we're okay when it doesn't.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably, like, if you just, like, were to tear down those, like, onion layers, like, that flexibility.
Like, we're willing to say yes.
To a lot of things.
Extraordinary
things. Said, yeah, we said yes to a lot of things. And not all those things, like, worked out. And we were okay with that. So that flexibility, that ability to, that's a good one. Unique to us. I was thinking, gosh, I think what makes us unique... Or something that's unique to us, which I guess would be the same thing.
Just answer the question,
Eric. I think our outlook on life, and my, what I mean by that is, I feel like most people, many people, and if you're not this way, don't think I'm generalizing you into this category. But
you're just trying to find a unique aspect of us.
Most people have this like. Career idea or end result, or they have this specific goal in mind for their life. But I feel like we've looked at our life more of a,
we're going to throw a clump here. We're going to throw a clump here and like wait for the picture to come up.
Yeah. But not for the sake of the end result, but for the sake of the journey itself. Mm. And I feel like we've always been that way. Yeah. That yes, there's been like, we're looking forward to this thing or we're looking for that thing. But like, when I try and think about our future, I think like, well, what do we have now? And are we enjoying what we have now? And we do, we tend to try and enjoy and live currently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's not even unique to us, but
it's good. I like it.
It feels like it is to us. Did you ask that question, by the way?
I don't remember.
I think I did. Why don't you ask the next one.
When we are apart, what do you miss most about me?
Are we doing PG?
Aaron, stop it.
To be honest, I just like being around you. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm like, oh, if I'm going to go do this, a trip, sometimes I have to drive to Portland and I think, oh, that's going to be a nice time alone. And very quickly into the trip, I just wish you were with me. Mm-hmm. And like this men's retreat. Last time I remember all of us were like day one. We're like, yeah, this is great. It feels so good. And then the next day everyone's like calling their wives and their kids.
That's because we're so fun.
And the whole time I'm thinking like, this would be so much fun with our wives.
Yeah, doing like so, a couple's retreat.
I think just having you with me whatever I'm doing, it's usually better with you.
And because I know this about you and how you feel towards me, every time you leave the house, whether it's just to the store or to the bathroom,
you want
to
go with me.
I call you and I'm like, where are you? What are you doing? What?
You do that.
You've been joking lately.
You can be in the other room and you call me. I'm like, what? Why are you calling me? I'm literally in the other room.
I know. You're like,
are you at?
I can't go 5 minutes without you. And it's true. And I am codependent in that way of like, not only do I like you and I like your company, but I actually need your help. Like I need you to just hang something up for me or build a chicken coop.
And I always think, what does she do when I'm gone? Who does she call to help her if she needs me this
much? I call you.
Yeah. Can you please come home? I'm in Portland. No, that's true. So what do you miss most about me? Is it just also me?
No, I miss your presence. Yeah, I don't presence. Like being alone.
Yeah.
Having kids have helped.
It helps you fall asleep too when I'm home.
Yeah.
Like you have a hard time. Yep. And what's funny is I actually have a hard time falling asleep when I'm alone.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's weird. Hmm. It's like I'm like, oh, I can be on my computer. And then I'm like, hours go by. I'm like, why am I not going to bed? Like, yeah, it's hard to go to sleep without you.
I didn't know that. 15 years of marriage. I didn't know that.
It's hard to go to sleep without you. Did you? I know. I actually can't remember what it was like before we were married.
Yeah.
Sleeping alone. Isn't that weird? Yeah, we're almost married longer than we were
alive.
Single.
Oh, I don't know why I said that.
Isn't that true? Yeah. Alive. Right. So we're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. Like, if we're...
Well, like, we got
15 years.
We got married so young.
And I'm 38. Like, we're only a few years away from, like, cresting that, like, being married longer than we were single. That's exciting. Okay. If you could relive 1 year of your life, just one, which year would it be?
Oh, that's a good question.
I know some of these you didn't see me put on this. I was sneaking them in.
If you could relive 1 year of your life, well, it depends on why you would want to relive it. Because I could say this last year so that I can relive it with a better perspective and attitude.
Do everything different.
Do everything better. Or if it's just one that you just really enjoyed and you want to do again, I would probably say, could I change things in that year? You know what I mean? Like, what are the boundaries here?
Well, if you could relive it, that means you're living it again with new understanding.
Okay.
Can we do it together?
What do you mean?
Well, would you relive our first year of marriage?
I was going to say second because first was... Well, that would be fine. First year of marriage.
First year or second year. I would do that.
Yeah. First or second year of marriage.
With the perspectives we have now.
Yes.
And all the stock picks we have now. I'm just kidding. Yes. No, but all the ways we know. Because I look back on those times and I grieve them because we didn't know things.
Yeah.
We were like naive and.
And yet it was an adventure.
Selfish. But when we look back, we're like, that could have been probably.
Better.
Way better.
But it was fun. It was good. Okay. Is it my turn?
Nailed it.
Okay. How could we make our marriage more exciting?
Go back to year one. And I'm just kidding.
Today, Aaron.
Oh.
Before you leave for men's retreat.
I want you to answer this first because I actually don't know.
I'm thinking how about could it. We make, I know for me personally, I think that our marriage would be more exciting if you can tap into that romantic side of yourself and be more advantageous in your
this was how can we sorry how can we
I don't even know how to say what I'm saying, like I want okay that surprise element of like me pulling out the snow globe.
I want me to surprise you with
things and
surprise
experience
attacks.
Surprise attacks, sure. If that's how it helps you.
Of jiu-jitsu moves.
Sure. No.
Chokeholds. No. That's what you did to me today.
I know.
Or yesterday.
Okay. And I won.
So. More exciting. So
I want to be caught off guard in a good way.
Oh, you want like a surprise heart.
Heart attack.
Attack.
Yes.
That would be more exciting for you.
I think it would help us to have more fun too. I don't know.
Like this?
Yeah. What do you think?
More exciting.
I mean, we could take more vacations, but that costs money.
No. Yeah. I'm thinking more random outings that are not common to us.
Like experiences.
So do you remember when we went on that date and we went fishing? We didn't catch anything, but we just tried to, we found a fishing hole and like things like that, that we didn't grow up doing necessarily, but we could, and maybe you did. I didn't really grow up fishing, but going, finding interesting hikes, trying to find a lake that we've never been to before, but being doing stuff.
We talked about having more like active date nights, but our dates have been kind of wonky lately.
Yeah.
Again, we always go in and out of seasons of like really good date days and then sparingly.
But again, we're okay with it because we're flexible.
Okay, what's something you'd like us to prioritize?
Prioritize.
In marriage or family or anything.
In life.
Yeah.
I'd like to see us prioritize more Bible reading and book reading.
Just overall, everybody.
Yeah, right. And like, but downplay some of the extracurricular things, social media, movies, which again, we don't do tons of that, but I think we could lessen one and increase the other.
Okay. What's something I would like to prioritize? Well, I think it goes back to us moving into this house and settling in. And I know we've done a lot of like projects and trying to get things done, but there's some spots inside the house that frustrate me. It's mostly me.
Like
it's
the linen closet.
Your fault. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I need to, like, there's stacks of paper and books.
I know
and
you do not want to see our table that we're at right now.
It's like, it's frustrating to look at, but at the same time, it's like, I don't have time for you today.
I actually thought about this. So I changed my answer to,
I think
we should prioritize.
I want to finish moving in
the house better.
Yeah. And I keep telling myself, well, when winter gets here and we can't do any work outside, then I'll be forced to face it.
Which there's nothing wrong with that because I think that's a very good plan because we have other outside things that we need to get done.
Cool. Before, sounds like we're on the same page.
Let's do it. What's your most irrational fear?
I have a lot of them. There's one that kind of haunts me.
Frogs in boots.
Stop it.
Jennifer?
There's one that often happens when like, out of my peripheral vision, if there's like an odd shape or shadow or something, I think something is just there or someone. And I turn around really fast and it's like a laundry basket or a towel hanging up. I'm like, why am I so easy to get myself?
I think a lot of us, I tend to feel that way. If it's dark and I stop, I'll sometimes will stop for an extra long period of time to see if that shadow moves. And then I keep going. Like, it's nothing. I thought that. I knew that. It's not moving. So I don't think that's too irrational.
Okay.
I do think you have a slightly irrational fear of spiders.
I hate spiders.
Everyone hates spiders. But when it's like the teeniest spider and you all you have to do is step on it and
ask
you scream
Nikki.
And
I have to
come kill it for you. And,
okay, I mentioned my friend Nikki. We were working out in the garage the other day and I look over and this thing is massive, big, black, in the corner, spider. And I was like, Nikki, I need you to go over there. I need you to take care of that for me because Aaron's still asleep. And she was so brave. She just walked right over.
Was it really big and massive?
Like I would have grabbed like a broom or something long to like kill it, but she just grabbed like a piece of paper towel and just smushed it. I heard it crack under her fingers.
How big was it?
It was huge.
Like
bigger than a
penny?
Quarter. No.
Quarter?
Bigger.
Okay. The body or the whole thing?
The body was, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what irrational fears do. Just kidding.
It could have bit me.
I have I don't know if this is irrational, by the way, but I will not use public toilets to go number two. That's a serious one.
I mean,
I only break that rule under extreme duress.
Like what's the fear?
I have no idea.
Like but people? I, like you don't want someone to hear you?
I don't want someone to hear me.
You know, everybody poops.
How dare you? How dare you? Okay, before I get the sweats, we should move on to We should move on to another question.
I think I asked that one.
Which one?
I keep getting lost. I don't know.
Where are we at?
Let me just ask it. What one household chore do you wish you never had to do again?
Why do you think you've asked this question before?
No, I thought I asked the last question.
Oh.
But I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
All of the above. D, all of the above.
Household chores, check. The household chore.
I can tell you the chores that I don't do that I wish I did but can't because I don't prioritize them.
Because of your irrational fear of taking the trash out? Or...
Okay, moving on. No, I don't. I don't ever get to the baseboards.
The baseboards.
Yeah, but it bothers me because I walk by them and I see them and I think to myself, oh, I should attack you, and then I don't.
What's a household chore? I'm trying to, like, I don't know if there's any.
I'll say this. Can I say nothing? If toilets could self-clean themselves, I would never clean a toilet again.
I actually appreciate that you clean the toilets.
Yeah. I think the hardest one is the toilet of the kids' bathroom because, you know.
You know.
It's a big kid's job.
Yep. I'm just going to say I can't think of one, actually.
I think you need to do more chores then.
Well, maybe that's true, Jennifer.
Okay.
We'll move on. Which family traditions from your childhood would you like us to continue?
I really enjoy Christmas Eve services. It's something that my parents always highlighted for us, that we would go to dinner with family and then go to like a candlelight service at church. And it always felt rich and everyone dressed up and there was dark and moody colors and the candles and the music. And there was always like a violinist or something special. Mm-hmm. And we did that last year with the kids. We went to like candlelight service. I feel like
we've done it, maybe not every year, but we've done it quite a few times.
I love it.
Since having kids.
And I really like Christmas, probably because it's a week from my birthday, but I like that whole time and season.
That's funny because Christmas was what I thought too, but it says traditions, but Christmas is the only one I can think of. We opened stockings on like in the Christmas morning.
Yeah.
That was always the first thing we opened. It was like stockings and then we had to wait for breakfast and then we did presents way. It always felt like it was like the afternoon by the time we opened presents, but it wasn't. It was like 10.
What was some of your favorite things in the
stockings? Family? We would be without a doubt always get this Lifesavers multi-pack.
Oh, my grandma used to give me those.
And it would come with like the mixed flavor and then it would come with the butterscotch.
That was my favorite.
With the mint ones and it would come with the... And yeah. I don't know why I liked those. It was just candy. We didn't get that much candy.
I think it was a 90s thing.
It was a 90s thing. Yeah. 90s kids. Everyone that's born in the 90s are like, yeah.
Now we all are craving Lifesavers.
Multi-pack. And then there would always be like some, I felt like some of the best gifts I got were also in the stocking. Mm-hmm. It was like a little pocket knife or a little laser pen or was a little, and those things that I thought were awesome for some reason.
I feel like I got Silly Putty every year.
I did also get Silly Putty, but I love Silly Putty. So
yeah, who doesn't love Silly Putty?
It was like the Target like nails this now. This is their dollar section. This is all the stocking stuffers that we used to get as kids. It's like turned into like adulthood normalcy because we all grew up with it. Okay, what makes you laugh?
You, babe. No, on a serious note, Insta story reels. On a
serious note, what makes me laugh? It is true.
Memes.
This is actually... One of the pastimes that Jennifer and I indulge in every once in a while is we'll sit and I look over her shoulder as
she's laughing at myself.
Goes through Instagram reels. Okay, I was just thinking about this when we were talking about trash, taking out the trash. When we come across those marriage ones, they're so accurate.
Yeah, they're so
funny. And
I'm
like, wait a minute. So is this like just the majority of marriages deal with this exact thing? Like, oh, it's so funny.
I'll also say that I like... Again, going back to this whole like surprise attack thing, like being randomly tickled or like physical touch stuff makes me laugh. And then being with friends, and I have some really silly girlfriends, and we like to do pranks. We like to try and do challenges, like what's it called when you do TikTok challenges? I don't know. I know it's silly.
Oh,
because we're in our 30s, but TikTok challenges, yeah. But the kind where it's like partner, like you're supposed to be doing something,
moves, right?
And yeah, random things. But it'll be late at night.
Or the tortilla slap.
Oh, the tortilla slap was so funny. So I like that we have friends that are willing to engage in silliness, and that makes me laugh. Thank you, friends.
Ditto. I do think that's funny. All of that.
Do I ever make you laugh?
Yes.
I'm kind of funny.
I'm always laughing at you.
So Aaron, if you guys want to know something about Aaron, because I'm a jokester and I like to tell jokes, but I'm insecure. So I say them under my breath to where only he hears them. But when he thinks they're funny, he repeats them louder as if they were his genius. And then everybody laughs. And I just look at him like, all right, fine.
Needless to say, everyone thinks I'm hilarious. So...
All right, next one. What was your reaction when you found out we were going to be parents for the first time? Do you remember that?
I do. You know me and my memory.
Okay. I'll say, I feel like it was mixed emotions of this like expectation. Like we felt like it was going to happen sometime soon. And so we weren't like super surprised by it. But then there was this just cherishing of the moment of this is the last of just us. Like we know that this person's going to come and change our world. And we were excited. We were really excited.
Yeah, I think heart palpitations, is that the word? like a level of weight, because becoming a dad for the first time, there's that, oh my goodness, I'm not allowed to be selfish anymore. Or like, yeah, like this, I felt like there was a weight, not a bad one, but like a heavy, like, oh, this is real and I can't stop it. Mm. Like what's happening? This is crazy. But on the outside, you wouldn't have known that because that word confidence used, make it till you make it.
Okay.
I was letting everyone know that. Like, this is normal.
This is great.
People have babies. We're having a baby. Yeah, I was excited and scared out of my mind. Okay, you've been, you do this question because I have to do the next question.
Okay, what are some little things I do for you that you appreciate? Oh, that's really good. Go ahead and take your time. And there, you don't have to say just one thing. You could just list
keep
them
going. Yeah. Jennifer, all the things that I love about you.
No, all the things that you appreciate that I do for you.
You do a lot. One of them, toilets. We just talked about it. You clean toilets. I actually really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You're also a laundry champ. And yeah. I don't want to say all these just household things, but they actually are huge deals because we have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And they're big deals. And I don't want to make it sound like a small thing. It's a feat. And I really appreciate it that I always have underwear.
Cool.
That's a pretty awesome thing. But you also, you can tell when I need rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll let me sleep in sometimes and you'll take the kids out. And I appreciate that. And I love that you know that I have a need for relationships and quality time with friends. And so you,
so even though I was born an introvert and
born
would rather be by
codependent,
just
like
ourselves
lover,
I let people in.
Yeah. You, well, not just let people in, but you also like, you'll make time and you'll say, hey, Aaron, go
hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to that men's retreat.
So those are a few things. There's a lot more, but that I really appreciate those things about you, that you see those things and you care about them.
Mm.
So
cool.
You have to answer that for me though.
Oh yeah. Well, I appreciate that on a whim when I, not every time, but the majority of the time, if I'm like, hey, I know you're already doing this thing over here, but will you just come hang this picture for me really quick or come use this power tool that I can't figure out? And you're very quick to help me. And I appreciate that because usually I don't know what I'm doing.
That's funny because today you asked me and I told you no.
I know. That is funny, that the timing.
But I usually do.
But I hope that me sharing my appreciation for you encourages you that thing's still...
That I should go do it. Yeah. I almost did it tonight when we got in, but I was like, oh, we got to record. So actually, okay. I walked past it.
It's a bookshelf that he's going to hang up in the store.
I was going to go and hang that up for you.
It's okay. So...
And just so everyone knows, the only reason I told her no today is because I had the chicken coop to work on.
I know. What else do I appreciate about you? I love that you lead our family and our church in using your giftings of teaching the word and your knowledge and just the way that you share it is you put it in a way that's understanding and comforting and yet firm. And I really love that. I love that I appreciate that you push me outside of my comfort zone, like podcasting or any of the number of things that we've chosen to do, be missionaries and travel, like just things that I don't think in my nature and who I am, or at least who I am in that moment, would choose to do without you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But if you recall, podcasting was your idea.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But I do push you to continue doing it. So I have a question for you.
What?
You've been learning guitar, haven't you?
Learning sounds like it's an active progression of
Were you learning? Were you practicing last night?
Yeah.
Watching YouTube videos.
Trying.
And getting your strum on. So if today you were as good as you wanted to be, what would you do with that talent?
Why are you asking me that?
Because I genuinely want to know.
So this is like basically what's my motivation for learning it?
No. I'm sure you have a lot of motivations just to have a skill. Like you want to play music, but if you were as good as you wanted to be today,
okay,
what would you do with that talent?
The first thing I would do is use it as a tool to engage with my kids in a fun way. So like learning, you know, I may never march in the infantry, like songs that we sing, Sunday school songs, mm-hmm. or,
even other CC songs.
Their CC songs or yeah. anything that I could put to a tune. Because I actually have been doing this for years and the kids, I think that they love it. But I randomly make up songs and they think I'm actually really good at it. But they're like silly songs. And I try to teach them about rhyming. Like
you just, are actually really good at it.
So like at night and when I'm putting them to bed, they kind of want me to entertain them a little bit. And I'll be like, well, give me a word. And so they give me a word and then I'll make up a song about it. And they're like, how do you do that? And so if I could learn guitar and sing my silly songs, I feel like I would just master motherhood in that fun kind of way.
Cool. That's awesome. And that would be a totally valid use of that talent.
Maybe I don't need the guitar for that, but.
That would be awesome. And then you'd probably end up teaching them.
I want to teach them. Yeah. I wish I could pass that down to them.
Not wish, you could, you will.
I will.
Yeah.
If anything, my desire for learning music, I hope will get passed down to them, like to try.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. I see. Would you ever consider an entirely different career path to the one you're currently on?
Yes. And I don't say that in a negative way. I just,
how dare you?
We've always considered it. If one day,
well, first you have to explain what we're currently on, right? Just so that people know.
Marriage After God, our books and our resources and our podcast and all these things that we've been doing for years now, over 10 years now, is our quote unquote career. And it's also a ministry to that we get to participate in blessing the community and helping marriages grow closer to God and to their spouse. Not that I want to stop doing this, but if one day we were forced to stop doing it, all the podcast platforms could totally ban our type of content. Amazon could not allow our books to be sold. Those things are, that can happen. And so we've always thought, we have like dreams of owning a donut store one day, like in the future. So like I said, we don't have this vision of like, oh, we have this perfect ideal for our business and everything. More so we see basically what I asked you to marry me with was, whatever we're going to do, I want to do it for God and I want to do it with you. Mm-hmm. So that could look a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I want to go a different career path, but I could see an entirely different career path if we needed to.
Cool. I agree that I think we both have flexibility in where we're headed and what we're doing. And I'm really grateful for the experience and the opportunity that God's given us with all of these things. Sometimes I get nervous being so known or like, you know, our faces out there. Some, and
yeah, level being of public.
On, yeah, social media and feeling like I can't turn that part off. And so if we ever got the opportunity, not right now, but like later in life to just kind of tone down a little bit what we're doing, I think I would enjoy that. But
why don't you tell them what you want to do?
What?
Don't you have that? You have an idea of if you could just settle down and do one thing, it has to do with flowers. And
oh gosh,
plants.
Aaron, now I feel like you're just making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you at all.
I told Aaron that I want to like, sometimes when I'm talking to him, my thoughts are kind of jumbled. And so it's a lot of different things, but essentially it's a garden or like a botanical garden or something, or museum or something that someone can come and enjoy, or like a nursery, like something to do with plants where I'm just out there in nature and watering things.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Anyway, totally different career path.
But what I was going to say to this question is a large part of my current career path cannot be changed or given up because we've chosen to homeschool our kids. And I feel like that is my
right.
career right now is just making sure that I'm on it and teaching well, and I'm going to be doing it for a while. So
that's a good answer. And one day you might have a botanical garden.
Maybe.
No, I'm just saying.
That'd be awesome.
Last question. What do you feel is your purpose in life?
My purpose in life is to be a light. I tell the kids this all the time. Like, no matter where we are, no matter where we're, no matter what we're doing, we are a light in this world. And we shine that light by the things that we say and the things that we do. And I feel a large portion of our purpose is to be a light for God and for his message and to shine in this dark world. And that can be done in a lot of different ways. And so that's like the general picture of what my purpose is. And then if you were to like the umbrella, and then if you go down from there, I have a couple of other purposes that I feel very strongly about, like motherhood and being a good wife.
That first purpose permeates all of them.
Totally. And then sub is like just bringing that surprise to life, you know?
This word purpose, it has a lot of meaning for me. It's pretty much how I got saved, was the Lord calling out in me purpose and just showing me or reminding me, telling me, calling me, and letting me know that if I wanted purpose, then I needed to follow him. And so I feel like my purpose has been following God. And so that gets played out in every aspect of my life. It's not like a Christianity is this thing over here in the corner, and then I have my job, and then I have my family, and then I have...
Yeah, it's all intertwined.
My purpose is following Christ. And I feel like that's been that is my only purpose. And everyone else in my life I get to benefit from it. Everyone gets to benefit from it. Just like that good fruit on the tree is eaten by those who pass by it. So
what would you say to people listening right now who maybe they're wondering, well, what's my purpose? Or maybe they've never thought about it before, or maybe they've never had the answer to it before. Like what would you say to encourage them?
I would say that, I'm going to tell them the same thing that God told me, is that if they want to find purpose, they're going to follow Christ. He's the one that gives true purpose, because as the creator, as the designer, as the one who put his image in us and on us, and he's also the one that calls us, there is no other purpose found anywhere else but in the one who creates the purpose. And so I would just tell them to turn their eyes to heaven and say, Lord, here I am.
It's good. Well, we hope you guys feel encouraged today just by learning a little bit more about Aaron and I, but also just being inspired to have candid conversations with your spouse and to remember that being lighthearted and fun and getting to know each other is just as important as all the other aspects of marriage. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, why don't you share the weekly challenge?
Explore a new area together or with your family. It could be a trail, a special spot to watch the sunset, a park by a river. We like water. So sometimes we find spots by rivers, a waterfall, which are always fun, downtown areas. And so just go explore a new area together. That's your weekly challenge. Last week's challenge was, what was it again? It was do a random act of kindness. What was yours? You did one this week.
Yes, I did it on behalf of both of us. But we DoorDashed friends of ours again, Jordan and Nikki. They keep coming up. Nikki got hurt last week, and so just DoorDashing them some breakfast burritos.
And who doesn't love a breakfast burrito?
Right.
These are good breakfast burritos too. I actually got to benefit from that random act of kindness.
I brought some home for us too.
Yeah. And by the way, we never figured out what RISC. I could not figure that out, the acronym. Anyways, so we're just going to end in prayer, guys. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the creative ways we can come together and learn about each other. Thank you for how unique you have made us and how those unique qualities and ways of thinking can bring us together in such a special way. Lord, we love you and ask that you would bring more joy and light into our marriage and the marriages of those who are listening. give us a deep and lasting desire to always pursue our spouse in creative ways, that we would never grow tired of learning who they are and how you have uniquely designed them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Marriage After God podcast.
If you found today's episode fun and encouraging, please take a moment to share it on social media or in an email to some of your married friends.
Also, would you please take a moment and leave us a review? Reviews help to spread the word about our podcast.
Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and you can always check out more of our resources at marriageaftergod.com.
You can follow us on social media for more marriage encouragement on Facebook and Instagram at Marriage After God, at Husband Revolution, and at Unveiled Wife.
We hope you have an incredible week and look forward.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.
We're sharing more with you next week on the Marriage After God podcast.